said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
Are back, Sportsaholics, episode number 82. Eric Marino, oh, that Marino on Twitter, free this week. Unfortunately, was not able to partake in the recording of this week's episode, which is all right. We've got a great episode. We have comedian Davey Wester, Washington native, diehard Mariners fan, calls in from New York City, talk about Mariners, disappointment, the future, King Felix, what's going on there, and bad drafts. And then along with that, we catch back up with Chris Kamler, author of the amazing book, The Silence, The Series, The Season of Sung Woo, on Twitter at TheFakeNed. Very, very funny author, great baseball mind. Had him on talk about being 14 games up in a division. What are you playing for? Royals trades, their potential playoff pushes in the future, in the seasons to come, and what are the chances of those, and just kind of break down what it's like to be a Royals fan, because I'm getting this question all the time now. How long you been a Royals fan? I'm like, well, I don't know, since Jim Eisenreich signed my autograph book in 1987. That's pretty much when it locked in, when I was like, this guy might have Tourette's. He might even slip and say shit while he's talking to me. But my dad flagged him down, drug me over there, signed, it was a little dinosaur book, I think I had him sign it, and then I had met some members of the Blue Angels at church. So I had aircraft pilots from the Blue Angels and Jim Eisenreich's autograph in that book. And then I think a couple phone numbers of my buddies, Esteban, and I think Johnny also were in there. God, I would love to have that back. If I could find that somewhere, I would frame that Eisenreich autograph immediately. But again, this is episode number 82. This is the Shannon Sharp episode. Not a Broncos fan, but Sterling Sharp, his brother, tragically career cut short with a neck injury, amazing wide receiver for the Packers in the early 90s. But Shannon, you guys, three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer, broke a lot of records until Tony Gonzalez broke them 2 or 3 years later. But a great wide receiver, or I'm sorry, tight end, one of the best ever in the NFL. So this is the Shannon Sharp episode. So sorry for all you Raiders fans, Chargers fans, Chiefs fans, but it's hard to dig. Find a better number 82. Just try to. I looked. I mean, really, it was the best I could come up with. So my apologies. Real quick off the bat, I'm enthralled with this season's Hard Knocks. I don't know if you've been watching it, but Bill O'Brien, the Texans head coach, I love this guy. He's pretty much what you would want a high school coach to be, in the sense, like, my high school football coach had the anger and everything, but it wasn't filtered. It would just explode, and it was hard to respect that. But this guy, he's smart, and what he puts the players through is brilliant. Quizzing them on who owns the team, the GM's names, things like that, and then just the way he dresses the staff, like, just to open up camp is amazing. So if you're not watching Hard Knocks, I would highly recommend just set your DVR. I think it's Sunday night on HBO. You could probably catch up pretty quickly. Actually, here's a great clip. This is what I'm talking about. When they sit down with his staff, and Bill O'Brien, he was the post-Paterno guy at Penn State. So as a Texans fan, having to take over that program after Joe Paterno leaves and then actually come back, I think they were like 8-4, 8-5 or something that next season, after losing all those scholarships, having to deal with all of that press. I mean, that guy has felt pressure. You think Ray Rice has felt pressure, Tom Brady right now? This guy came in after all of that, rode out that storm, managed to stay afloat, and actually succeed it with all those circumstances. So I'm not saying the Texans are going to come out of nowhere, but just with his history, the way he can connect with a player and the coaching staff, who knows? Maybe playoffs. Maybe they sneak into a wild card. But here, great example right here. I'm going to play this clip.
Let's be honest with each other. This place has no respect in the league, just so you guys are all aware of that. This organization is 96 and 126, 30 games below 500. Turn your TV on. Nobody talks about the Houston Texans because no one thinks we're going to win. And the disrespect that they show our quarterbacks, I'm tired of that too. Because both those kids can play. They just need a chance, and one of them's going to get it. All right? Enough is enough. Every player that's out there, all 90 players, are players that I want for the 2015 season. When you fucking guys show up to practice tomorrow, they better be ready to fucking go.
He's right, though. I mean, nobody has any respect for the Houston Texans. I mean, they were kind of good a couple years ago at the Matt Schaub. They've always had the Andre Johnson. And yet, J.J. Watt's awesome, but he's one guy. And when you watch the show, it shows his workout. And, like, he's got some really good PR people that have – I mean, I'm sure he's a good person, but he does all that little extra stuff. And, you know, it's like he knows the camera's on. I'm not saying he doesn't work hard all the time, but – it just seemed a little bit staged. It was kind of like when Donovan McNabb would, like, 3 years ago was going to come back to the NFL and they had him, like, playing catch in the ocean and running on the beaches of Santa Monica, or even around that same time is when Terrell Owens had his own personal pro day, I think, at, like, Calabasas High School, like, north of L.A., and had, I think, one scout show up, and it's pretty much his own just 35-year-old pro day. But he's right, though. No one respects the Texans, but I love the approach. It's honest, you know. It's appropriate, and it gets his coaches in the right mind staff. I'm gonna play another clip here. This is when he's got. It's brilliant. He asked the players who owns the team, things like that, and then he follows it up with, just grilling everyone on what their actual players' names are. It's awesome.
Mom, where are you at, Mom? You're right there. Who is the COO, the chief operating officer of this organization? Okay. Did you say Cal McNair? That's right. Now who's Cal McNair's father, B-Mac? Okay, and who is Bob McNair?
He owns the
team. The what? He owns the team. That's right. So we're off to a good start. We're off to a good start.
I think all the rookies know each other pretty well. What we pretty much had a hard time learning was the rest of your teammates, the vets, and the guys that's been here. And I think Coach O'Brien's really big on that. And just getting to know the person that's next to you, not just lining up next to somebody you don't know.
So, Kenny, who's this guy right here? Sleepy? Stevie, how many years have you played in this league? 6 years in the league. That would be Stevie Brown. Okay. Muff, who's this guy right here? Okay, that would be Akeem Dent. How many years in the league, Akeem? 5 years in the league. What's that? Georgia guy. Yeah, well, he's got a name. Like, I don't give a fuck about Georgia. If you haven't figured out already, I don't give a fuck about Georgia, LSU, Arkansas, Northeast Oklahoma. I care about people. This guy's Akeem Dent. Okay, he played a ton of football for us last year. Like, get to know your teammates,
I think it's brilliant,
right?
Really. I mean, because it holds you accountable. And, yeah, it's a lot of stuff to learn. There's 72 guys. But I mean, if you've been in the league 6 years, I mean, at that point you're a rookie. You were 15, so you've heard his name before. You know, he's stuck around the league. Got to be smarter than that. But I'm not saying Super Bowl, but just know that Bill O'Brien, at least it sounds like, has the Texans going in the right direction. There's a lot of respect there. He's instilling accountability. And this is all stuff, you know, again, you're going to find in the show when you watch it later. Real quick, guys, I want to give a quick recognition to some sponsors. Go to One Lovely. That's OneLovely.com. OneLovely.com. They got a bunch of really, really funny shirts, unique, especially if you're in the Midwest, particularly Kansas City area. Some one-offs, some good Royals-esque shirts. They also have some really, if you're a skateboarder, bunch of great skateboard decks, wheels, things like that for sale. So check them out, OneLovely.com. Also, big thank you to CollegeDose.com, putting up some videos and some of our hosting. I'll also be starting a podcast with them here in the coming weeks. So look for that. And also a quick shout out, reminder, guys, before we get into this interview with Chris Kamler, go to PineTarPress.com. Follow his work. Always funny, always insightful. Back with the author from PineTarPress.com, the author of the great book, The Silence, The Series, The Season of Sung Woo. You can also find him under The Rambling Moron or on Twitter at The Fake Ned. Chris Kamler has returned. Chris, how are you doing? You survived Los Angeles.
I did survive Los Angeles. There weren't any fires or earthquakes or anything, and I just have to go back to the Midwest for all we have to deal with is tornadoes. So it was a great trip. LA is fun every time I go out there.
Nice. And you didn't end up in the hospital this time, correct?
I didn't end up in the hospital. I did go to a Dodgers game and sit in the bleachers, so that was kind of close call, but it was still pretty fun.
Did you see anything out of the ordinary? What? Okay, describe, was that your first Dodgers game?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
I've been to, over the years, maybe 30, 40 games. Describe... What? Because you said it in the outfield. Were you in the left field or right field?
Left field.
See, and for the listeners at home who've never been, Dodger Stadium is one of the only one I've been to where if you're in the outfield, you have no access to the rest of the stadium. You're actually isolated. They have it fenced off from the inside, and so it kind of breeds this prison mentality, if you will. Did you stumble across any of that?
A little bit. I'll give you a little bit of the backstory, John. You know, I went out there, a friend of mine, on some business, and he wanted to kind of treat me like a big shot. I brought my son. He's 12, and so I brought my son, and
wait,
like, I'll treat you like a big shot.
He's only 12?
And everything.
You know, he looks like he's 16, right?
He does look like he's 16.
All right, continue. Sorry to interrupt, but that's awesome you got to take him with you.
Yeah, he's actually sitting right here next to me. We're getting ready to go to baseball practice. But, so he wanted to treat me like a big shot. He was going to give me some nice seats, right? Some seats down low, you know, behind home plate even or something. And I asked my son, I said, well, we're going to go to a Dodgers game. Oh, man, I really want to go to a Dodgers game. I always wanted to see Dodgers Stadium. So I said, well, where do you want to sit? He says, I want to sit in the left field bleachers. I said, what in the hell is wrong with you? And so this is a sign of the times, John. He pulls up this YouTube subscription for this guy by the name of Dodger Films. Are you familiar with this guy at all?
No, I know we have Clipper Daryl in L.A. I've never heard of Dodger Phil. I haven't yet.
So this is a guy that's got, Brett, how many subscribers does he have? Like 300,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
And he's... All he does is he takes his video camera to the Dodgers game, and he does like a little...
You there?
So, to the left field bleachers to meet his YouTube idol, Dodger Film, and we ended up going, and God help us, we sat there in the sun for 4 hours of shot, pitch a two-hitter, But Brett got to meet the Dodger Films guy, and so it was completely worth it. He got a couple pictures taken with him, and kind of the sign of the times that we were, the day before we were walking along Rodale Drive, and we could have walked right past, 700 movie stars. We would have had no idea, but Brett knew who the Dodger Films guy was off of YouTube. So maybe a sign of things to come for the entertainment industry.
No, actually in the comedy industry, we just ran across that last week where this online guy going by the name of the Fat Jew. He had... Over the years, kind of just been stealing people's jokes and then not giving them credit for them. And so CAA signs him, which is the biggest agency in Hollywood, and Comedy Central had this deal with him. And then so all this backlash came out. I actually put something up online because he had stolen a joke from Sandy Danto, a very funny comedian and friend of mine. So I put something up and just let people know this guy was stealing jokes, but he got all of his fame from the internet, and it's crazy because I don't know, he's not that funny or whatever, but you can find, there's an audience for everyone if you put out content, I guess is what the point, the moral of that story is.
I don't know a lot about comedy or comedians or whatnot, but I was reading that article and I was like, maybe he's just stealing a joke, it's the same type of theme of a joke, or the two guys walk into a bar. No, he was actually stealing word for word just stuff off the internet. It was awful. It was the most blatant I'd ever seen in my life.
Well, he ultimately just became a big Facebook page where he would just steal people's stuff and kind of claim it as his own, it was funny, but he just didn't credit anybody. But I wanted to bring up, this is a problem that I've been running into recently when I've been traveling, especially when I fly back to Kansas City and I'm wearing Royal stuff. I get this question a lot. How long have you been a Royals fan? Now, is that a question that you find yourself asking people or being asked a lot recently?
I don't really care, but it is a topic that has come up a lot in the fandom because you've got a fan base that has been drawing 19,000, 20,000 fans per game, and now we just had our 2 millionth fan, and we still have 30 some odd games to go, and we're drawing 34, 35, 36,000 fans per game.
Which
you can't swing a dead cat and not hit somebody with a Royals hat. Or a Royals shirt on.
Rewind 10 years ago, you couldn't fire a shotgun and hit somebody with a Royals hat or Royals, or even wearing blue.
Yep.
Even wearing blue. I mean, unless they were a Jayhawks fan. I mean, that was a strictly yellow and red Chiefs city, hands down.
Yeah.
And
it really was.
And if you wore a Royals something, like out in public, and correct me if I'm wrong, you would get looks, but kind of like sympathetic looks, like, oh, there's the one of the 8,000 people that went to a game last year, looks like that. It wasn't any like, occasionally you would get it like, hell yeah, Royals are going to be good this year, blah blah blah, John Buck's really heating up, or whatever it is. You'd have something like that kind of a conversation, but those were few and far between. But now last couple weeks ago I flew back to Kansas City, sat on the flight, halfway through I get like a little tap on my shoulder from the lady behind me, immediately, how long you been a Royals fan? I don't know, my whole life. I've been a fan my whole life. I went to 26 games last year. And she already told me she lived in California, which I found that. And I was like, okay, so you're also a liar. But, that's cool. But it's like, it doesn't matter. I'm kind of with you. It doesn't matter how long. I mean, I've got my buddy Mike Nielsen. He had season tickets in 2010. It's like, we all know people, that have been fans for a long time. But the ultimate test, Chris, and it's the digital era and what you can do. If you want to prove that you're a Royals fan, or if you want to check to see if someone really is a diehard or not a bandwagon fan, just go on their Facebook profile. You can go back on their timeline and check 2009 and see how many times they posted about the Royals. And I bet it was zero.
Yeah, that's true. I think you've got a pretty clever way of doing it, too. I saw on your Facebook page the other day, this is what people are here in town are doing. If you've got an Eric Hosmer jersey or a Salvador Perez jersey or a Johnny Cueto jersey, that's cool, that's great. Wear your colors, that's no problem. You had on a John Buck T-shirt, and so that automatically, it's not that it it legitimizes you. It puts you into this other stratosphere of Royals fandom. If you're strutting around with a John Buck jersey, you're all right by me. I'm gonna buy you a beer because that's pretty cool.
It's the same thing when I went up and I had to shake the hand of the guy wearing the Joe Ranta jersey at Coppin Stadium last year. I was like, you're awesome. You're my hero, man. Thank you.
These bandwagon fans, and these guys are paying for Johnny Cueto's salary and Ben Zobrist's salary. So I'm the more the merrier. I'm cool.
Yep.
It gets a little annoying when you're trying to figure out, people are asking questions about that happened 2 years ago. But hey, it's all right. We're more the merrier. We're all having fun.
Yep.
We're 14 and a half games up. It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, at this point, I'm more concerned on, I'm looking at the wild card. I'm kind of hoping that the Angels get it that way and then win. That way I can go maybe see a game in Anaheim. I'm like forecasting my schedules like around the baseball playoffs in hopes that I can get up there and see a game. Also, I was gonna bring up what did you think of that Zobrist trade? I mean, and the Cueto deal. I know giving up Finnegan, I'm fine with that. But then in the Zobrist deal, I was happy with the Finnegan deal because they hadn't given up Sean Manaea, who was regarded as one of the Royals' best left-handed prospects, maybe even in baseball, coming off of major, I believe, Tommy John surgery. So not really proven himself yet, but a very high ceiling. Now, I mean, obviously Zobrist is playing very well, but what did you think about the Royals giving up their, in the views of many, their top prospect or one of their best prospects in that deal?
Yeah, there was sure a bit of a shockwave for about a week here in town when Zobrist and Cueto came in, and we gave up, I think, three guys each for guys who were only going to be here for 2 months. And so it wasn't negatively the reaction, but it was certainly, oh crap, now we're really in it now. We've really got to make something happen. And so over the last, 3 weeks, it's been insane how much. I was at the first game. It was actually Johnny Cueto's third game, but it was his first game in Kansas City. And he pitched an eight-inning, it was a complete game. It was like a no-run, four-hitter. It was ridiculous. My son and my wife and I were there, and it was just, It took something that was already electric and it cranked it up to 11. It was really almost like, going from the playoffs to the World Series last year. It was pretty insane. And Ben Zobrist has not really made a splash. It's just that he's powered the team forward. He got three hits last night. He got four hits the night before. He just is consistent. Yeah. He's playing every position known to man. He's taking care of Gordon while Gordon's out. The assumption is that he'll come in for Infante when Gordon comes back in a couple of weeks. And my goodness, what can't this guy do?
It's incredible.
And it's so fun. It's so much fun to watch.
It is. It's absolutely. I mean, and at this point, it's to be 14 games up, which is their biggest lead, I guess, since the end of the 1980 or 81 season. At this point, it's almost frustrating watching the games because they're everyday players aren't playing. They're getting rest, and it's frustrating sometimes because, not that we gave away two games last week because they did get to our official guys, Greg Holland and Davis both give up home runs, but they'd been rested for like forever before then, And so it's interesting to see now to hear grumblings like, is Guthrie going to be on the postseason roster and all these things? Are they going to bring up Almonte? What's his role going to be? Which I think now with the success of Finnegan last year, I'm interested to see how they use him. Is there any word? Is that a legit possibility?
Well, there was some news today that Ned Ghost did not. He was very tepid when they asked if Guthrie would make his next start. And he normally every week has said, yeah, he'll make his next start. Absolutely, he's my guy. He kind of hedged that bet a little bit today, which set the internet aflutter again. Oh, who are we going to bring up for it? You talk about pitching, though, and I think the best thing about the Cueto trade you know, last year we had James Shields, who really was around for a year and a half, taught this team how to win. Johnny Cueto has taken Yordano Ventura under his wing. They are inseparable. They go everywhere together. Joel Goldberg was on a radio station yesterday and said they go out to dinner every night. They're just attached at the hip. And you'll recall Yordano, this whole first half of the season was really just unpredictable. You know, he's up and he's down. Well, he started to pitch pretty well the last couple of starts out, and I think you've seen this Cueto effect come in. They're all from the Dominican Republic, those two and Edison Volquez, and all three of them just power around and just, it's really spectacular to see how he's brought those guys in and raised the game, raised the bar, and said, hey, guys, listen, jump on my back. And it's allowed Ventura to become not a one, not a two, but usually probably about a three starter.
Yeah.
And that's taken some pressure off of him. And it's just been, it was a master stroke, even if it's only for 2 months. Obviously, you're doing this for the specific reason to get a ring. So time will tell. But everything seems to be coming up stage so far.
And Miguel Almonte, who's like the Royals' best pitching prospect right now, I think he's actually from the Dominican Republic as well, also right-handed. Also, I mean, he fits that exact same mold. And so I'm curious to see, I'm expecting, I mean, he's already been promoted to AAA from AA, but I got the feeling they're going to want to get him on the roster and absorb as much of that knowledge and information while that opportunity is there as possible. Because, I mean, he's projected to be that 3-4-5 guy, you know, possibly even higher in the years to come.
Yeah, September's going to be interesting because you're basically probably about after September 10th, you're playing meaningless games. You'll have the division sewn up. You'll have a decent amount of you're still going to be 5 or 6 games above the Yankees. So what do? Do you play Zimmer and Almonte and these guys? I think you do. I think you give your both of your starters the month off almost. Let them rest. Let them chill. And then really all you're looking for is the 4 best starters to go into that first week in October. You crank it back up again, and then it's go time. But it's certainly a nice problem to have. You can rest these guys, pitch them every 6th or 7th day. Instead of every 5th day, and when the rosters expand, we'll have a nice bunch of problems to have.
No, it'll be great. I mean, I'm excited for that Cueto, you know, Volquez, Ventura, 1-2-3 ALDS, you know, and just, I mean, it, just having that legitimate top pitcher for the first time. And yeah, James Shields was that, but wasn't, I mean, he got us through a lot of, games last year, won some big games, but he's not as quite of a shutdown pitcher as Cueto is. And so, to have that for the first time in 25 years, you know, arguably maybe since, you know, Saberhagen 30 years ago, it's very exciting to, you know, just to see how they can get the rest and then make a deep playoff and eventually hopefully a World Series championship back to Kansas City.
It's a great time to be a Royals fan, man. I'll tell you what, it's the talk of every water cooler, every drive-through, every coffee shop. We're all talking, and we're not talking about, did you see those bums last night? We're talking about, you know, who's going to come up and be our, you know, 28th guy on the roster and stuff like that. It's
awesome.
Really, really
it's
fun
great.
Right
it's, yeah. You think Medlin will get some more innings? You're like, you know, those sorts of questions. And real quick before we let you go, I am just realized with the current wild card system, the Royals have set themselves up for postseason play arguably for the next maybe even 3-4 seasons. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. I'm still more gun shy from the, you know, the last 20. I hope so. We've got Hosmer. We've got the core for at least another year and a half, 2 years. So I think there's a really good shot for that. It's going to all come down to pitching. And then you start to get into what did we give up in the Cueto trade. Can we re-sign Ben Zobrist? What do you do with Alex Gordon? They just made a contract offer to him to make him a Royal for life. So, you know, how does all that go together? It's going to be a one hell of an offseason. Win or lose, whether you win the World Series or not, it's going to be huge because there's a lot of open questions for this next year because you do want to set it in motion to repeat at least the next couple of years before you have to go and rebuild again.
Well, I think they've proven that they know how to draft. They've done that. And then, I mean, with recently with Finnegan, and they've already turned that into a playable, viable, you know, daily, you know, player. So I think they've been able to succeed, you know, in the actual drafting of players, which always helps, you know. But I think at this point, Dayton, like the fans trust the management and trust their decisions. And whereas in years past, there's always a bunch of questions, but it's never failed. Whatever they've done, for the most part, I mean, bringing in Chris Young, all these old school guys, plugged them in where they needed them. I mean, they've got my full faith. And so I think now with Cueto going there, maybe he comes back, maybe not. I know I've heard that he likes the small markets and things like that. But with that defense behind you, with that huge outfield, it's a luxury to pitch in Kansas City. And I think now with the attendance, like we mentioned earlier, these bandwagon fans, you know, these extra 10,000 people that are showing up, well, maybe that money can go towards keeping a Cueto or keeping a Zobrist or, you know, whoever might be a free agent. Because ultimately, it's not Kansas City like when we signed Gil Mesh, and I remember Toronto was furious because he was like, why would they go sign him? Gil Mesh was awesome. Remember he gave back the last year of his contract? You know,
yep.
Like
he was great until he wasn't.
And he came to Kansas City when nobody came to Kansas City and everyone was leaving Kansas City. And it's flipped 180 since then. Now people want to come there and the draw of the fans. Don't think that the other teams don't notice, like Cincinnati the other day when I get a call from my brother who tells me that the Cincinnati Reds fans were complaining that the Royals fans were ruining their experience. And I said, you got to blame the Reds for that, not the Royals fans. You know, and so the other teams notice when 5,000-6,000 people are there on the road cheering you on, and it just makes the organization, the franchise, that much more appealing to free agents and, you know, possible trades. So we'll see. Like you said, it's an exciting time to be a Royals fan. But Chris, thanks for your time, man. It was awesome as always. Check out Chris's work at pinetarpress.com. Follow him on Twitter @thefakeNed. And check out his amazing book, The Silence, The Series, The Season of Sung Woo, which pretty much entails like a weekly following through the amazing 2014 Royals season.
Thanks, man. I'll tell you what, let's keep talking through the postseason. Let's do it. And it worked out for us last year. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Next time, hopefully, we'll have Eric here, too, because I know he'll have some questions for you.
Awesome, buddy. Take care and enjoy sunny and hot with Los Angeles.
Absolutely, man. You take care of at the baseball practice. Watch out for those foul balls.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, be good.
Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25. But I am still alive. I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide, with the sea.
All right, thanks again, Mr. Campbell, for coming on. Now we're going to switch gears. We're going to go to the AL West. Here we're going to have Davey Wester. Go to DaveyWester.com for his tour dates. Like as mentioned, you'll hear it's going to be in Vegas, so please check that out if you're going to be around. Very, very funny. Comedian worked with him many, many times over the past. And in fact, working on a YouTube project with him right now that should be coming out in the coming weeks that I'll let you know about. It's going to be absolutely hilarious. But all right, so sit back, relax. Here comes Davey Wester. A little bit of Mariners info.
Where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below.
All right, and we are back with comedian Davey Wester calling in from the beautifully smelly city of New York. You can find Davey next week in Las Vegas. He'll be performing at the South End Casino and the Hard Rock Casino. So if you are in Vegas, go check out Davey Wester. Very, very funny comedian and very, very loyal Seattle Mariners fan. Davey, how are you doing, man? We brought you on to talk about the misery that is being a Mariners fan.
The misery is that, you know, one thing goes good and then, well, you know, we finally start hitting, but then we stop pitching. You know, it's or our bullpen that was a staple last year fell to shit. Simple as that.
Look, it wasn't a anytime Fernando Rodney's involved with anything, there's nothing locked down about that. I mean, I've never been a fan. The arrow thing is played out. It's just, you know, it's like what he's doing is he's actually pulling out arrows, trying to shoot down the home run balls that are flying out of Safeco is what he's actually doing.
Yeah. And, well, we found that out this year because he got us all excited. I mean, he did have 48 saves, but he's also 38 years old. So, I mean, but we have the young kid, Carson Smith, that, you know, I think he's a future closer. I mean, that's the life of a Mariners fan. You've known it for years. We just tried to look at the silver lining. I mean, Cano for $170 million, he's hit now, but, you know, it's too late, you know, for 4 months of the season, he was hitting 225, 250.
Well, then you bring in, you know, Nelson Cruz, made infamous by being a horrible right fielder in the World Series and costing the Rangers a World Series, and I believe it was 2011, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, he's horrible.
Right, but they're not asking him to do that up there. But his bat's finally coming. I mean, you've got some cornerstone pieces. I mean, does it hurt? Not that Justin Smoke's had a great season in Toronto, but, you know, you lose a couple guys, they move on. It seems like the guys that leave your team actually go on to have, you know, decent seasons at other places. You guys just don't have a winning locker room, or is it the general manager? What is it? Is there one thing?
Here's the thing is we actually started hitting when they it's a different approach. Our team is actually hitting now, which is weird. But they fired their batting coach in the middle of the season and decided that they were going to give Edgar Martinez the batting coach, the hitting coach job. And because Edgar Martinez is the best DH ever.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so we did have Howard Johnson for 3 years. I didn't know why it took 3.5 years to fire him, but, it's rushing prospects up, and, you know, I thought Mike Zunino was going to have a good year, but he's leading the league in the lowest batting average, but that's not his fault. That's the Mariner organization as a whole is like, We finally got rid of Ackley, which is weird.
He was kind of like he was your future there a couple years back. You know, people were really, you know, holding him accountable to produce, and just never really felt. I don't know if he never felt comfortable or what. It just never really clicked for him in Seattle.
But you know the crazy thing about that draft, if you want to look up, that was a really all-star driven draft, maybe not in the first round, because, I mean, of course, everybody knows that Mike Trout went to the Angels that year, but you got to look at Arizona got their future first baseman in the 8th round, Paul, however you say his last name, let's call him Paul G. Brian Dozier, Jeff Kiplis came from the
I just looked it up. You're talking about the 2009 Major League Draft. That was the draft that was led. Steven Strasburg, number one overall. Dustin Ackley, number two. You had Aaron Crow with the Royals. Let's see, A.J. Pollock, Shelby Miller, Mike Trout, obviously, with the 25th pick that year. On down the line, James Paxton, actually, was in that draft. Jason Kipnis, Kyle Seager, DJ LeMahieu, Dallas Keuchel, Goldschmidt, Brian Dozier actually was drafted right after Paul Goldschmidt in the 8th round. Brock Holt, All-Star was in that draft. J.D. Martinez in that draft in the 20th round. Trevor Rosenthal in the 21st round. This draft is going to turn out to be arguably one of the best since probably in the early 80s during those Will Clark, you know, Barry Bonds, you know, mid-80s drafts.
Yeah. And we picked the worst two players because we picked Dick Franklin, who we traded away, and Dustin Ackley, who we traded away. And it just shows you that, I mean, here's the thing about baseball is, because, you know, baseball draft is important, but, I mean, and, you know, that was a stacked draft.
Oh, and I didn't even mention Zach Wheeler, who was the 6th overall pick in the draft that year by the Giants, and then Drew Storen. Was the 10th overall pick in their setup guy in Washington. So, yeah, this draft is – go on Wikipedia at home, guys, and just type in 2009 draft. I mean, I pretty much went through all the big ones, but there's Chris Owings, the 41st overall pick in the so it's definitely a deep draft.
My point is there was a lot of productive players that we could have drafted in later rounds. In hindsight, everybody, you know, Dustin Ackley was the number two player in everybody's board, but the only one that we hit on, which is weird, is he was a really successful college player, but he was actually better than the guy Kyle Seager in college. But Kyle Seager's having a better throw career. That's why I mean, it's hard, except for pitching, unless they get hurt, it's hard to strike. Pick a batter out of college. I mean, the Angels' philosophy, which is kind of weird, is they only really, at that time, they only drafted high school players for their outfield so they could develop.
And I could see that. It's a high ceiling. You're putting all your faith into your coaching staff. But, I mean, that's a move that's worked. Yeah, you know, a lot of times. I mean, in Kansas City, for example, I mean, you know, Lorenzo Cain, they taught him how to play baseball. You know, I think there's something to that. So if they've gone through college and already had a lot of instruction, they've already had that many more opportunities to improve their game. And so,
yeah.
So I could, you know, but it, unfortunately, I guess it, you know, it has kind of worked for the Angels. You know, Crone's pretty solid. What's the other guy? Trout, obviously, and then that red-haired bastard that's in right field. What the hell is his name? Calhoun.
Yeah, the one that you hate. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. The guy looks like the punk that everyone had in high school. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, to a T, he's like looks like a pit bull, shaved red hair. He's just got that shit-eating grin on his face all the time.
Yeah. So I mean, it's part of it is, you know. Mariners organization, I mean, in my mind, I like to think, you know, because he was playing good in the minors, and I think, same with Zunino, is we're so bad for so long that we rush these guys up to the majors. The only guy that had a productive career, and he basically got to go through the motions of the minors, is Kyle Seager. And he's a really good third baseman, you know.
Let him develop, gave him time to actually work on his swing and all that.
And how to approach it.
Nice.
And he didn't actually, he started as a second baseman. And then went short and then went to third and, you know, whatever. But it's like, basically, I didn't like the Cano buy last year, and I still kind of don't. You know, I'm a little different than most Mariner fans, but, you know, we signed him for 10 years for $170 million at 30 years old. And this isn't the steroid era of baseball where, you know, they start to fall off after, you know. So basically, you're going to have maybe 6 to 7 productive years, and then you're going to have 3 unproductive years. But you still have to pay them, you know.
And then you're vulnerable at DH. I mean, you know, do you want a guy that's 38 that maybe hits 15 home runs, drives in 50 RBIs, which isn't horrible, but when you can go out and get a guy that's going to hit 90 RBIs, 25 home runs, that's a big difference. That's the difference between winning five or six games throughout the course of a season.
Well, you have to be patient too. I mean, we had some really bad drafts. We just have to face that point. Tywan Walker is looking like he's going to be a stud next year. People ride him hard because he's been fairly inconsistent, but people forget Tom Glavine first full year and John Smoltz, all those guys, their first year in the majors, didn't have winning records as pitchers. And Maddox, even Greg Maddox was that way.
Yeah.
I'd rather have an inconsistent young guy than Heitei Inumu or whatever, or who else was there who won Rookie of the Year? Tim Lincecum, he had a couple good years, but he doesn't have the flamethrower anymore, so he's not as exciting. Justin Verlander,
It definitely. Is that any concern to you as of late? You know, King Felix hasn't been that royal. You know, he's been giving up. You know, I think he gave up 7 runs and two and two-thirds innings last week. He's been getting shelled of late. Is that a concern for you, or is that just a end of the season hiccup? He realizes the season's a wash. He's not giving it his all. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's really. I think it's just too many innings right now. He is 28 years old, so it's not. It's not. His fastball has dropped. And you got to look at like Zunino. Is Zunino calling the good game still? I mean, that's the big thing. You got to ask yourself: Is the catcher calling a good game? And I think he's still a top line pitcher. He may have lost a step two in the later part of the season, but I mean, he had a hiccup in the beginning of the season, the sad part about it is, I think this would be his second year that he's had the most wins as a Mariner. You know, I think it's just frustration, to be honest with you.
They had really, really, really high hopes. I actually had the Mariners at least as a wild card this season. I was a little biased having gone to a game with you last year and Darren, but spent a couple of weeks.
Yeah, when they were in the chase, teams open. Yeah, I remember.
You know, and it's a good environment. I mean, they've got great fans up there. It's just kind of unfortunate that they weren't quite putting it all together. So I think, you know, for Hernandez to have all those expectations and then they all just kind of imploded, I'm sure it makes it a little bit harder to get up for every start here in late August and September.
Yeah, and you got to understand that, like, our starting pitching that was supposed to be our strength got hurt, you know, and, there's been a few bright spots. I mean, he's a free agent. I don't see us re-signing him. He threw a no-hitter, so it's like, this is how I feel. It's either you go all young, but they brought up the kid Montero, too. I mean, he's actually playing a better first base than Logan Morrison, in my opinion. I mean, not defensively, but he's starting to hit, you know. If you look at his stats, he's hitting. But he got on the shit list for steroids.
Yeah, that's a hard list to get off of. Now you've been in New York now living in there for the past couple months. Which, before we let you go here, what's worse, a Yankee fan or a Mets fan?
A Yankee fan. Mets fans are pretty cool because they understand the misery of the Mariners. So I'm kind of rooting for the Mets, you know.
So you know? That's your unofficial National League team, the Mets.
No, it's always going to be the Braves. But, I don't say that to the Mets fans because they get upset. Because for years, the Braves, it's the Mariners and the Braves.
That's good. I actually just saw the Padres-Braves game yesterday. It was me and Gordon Downs to win. It was pretty cool. We just we walked as high up as you can go. Sat at the very top row in the shade. Didn't get any sunburned.
The Padres make me feel good because at least we didn't get all those outfielders. And then,
it's kind of.
Camp only hit 13 home runs and. They traded how many prospects away?
Yeah, we'll see how long AJ Preller holds on here in San Diego. He kind of went all in, similar to kind of what the A's did at the end of last season. But we'll see. I thought Shields might have been traded by now, but I guess they're going to hold on to him as a cornerstone of the pitching staff here for another couple years.
He's 34 years old, 33 years old. That's why they just need a young guy and. But I'll let you go. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
Well, real quick, before you get out of here, where can the listeners see you in New York? I mentioned you're going to be in Las Vegas at the end of August at the Hard Rock and the South Point Casino. In New York City, where can the listener catch you on stage, Davey?
There's tons of stages around here. That's kind of the hard part, maybe the Grizzly Pair, which is kind of crappy. You
could
have to go on my website.
There you go. Davey Wester, WESTER.com. Is that the website, Davey?
Yes, sir. And go Royals, all right? Go get your World Series. All right?
Hey, we'll see. Thanks for your time, Davey. And guys, go see him in Vegas. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
I fly a starship
across the universe divide, and when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again, or I may.
All right, that's all I'm gonna do this week. Flying solo. I think I did a pretty good job. Eric was missed. Always miss Eric. It's been very busy. A lot of traveling, a lot of writing, a lot of producing, a lot of Eric. You can still keep in touch with him, @OThatMarino on Twitter. I know he's still in the infancy stages of understanding how that platform works, so please be patient with him on that front. But guys, thanks again for listening all over the world. Thanks for spreading the word. These are going to be coming out more regularly and more frequently. And I'm going to leave you guys with my new favorite Swedish rapper, Young Lean himself. One of the go YouTube Young Lean, some of the funniest videos you'll ever see. He's like 16, 17 from Sweden. So for him, he's rapping about like old school stuff from like 94 and or 2004, which is hilarious. But anyway, guys, thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter @Sportsaholics. You can look us up on Facebook, Sportsaholics. Email us, sportsaholics@gmail.com. Guys, you're the best. We'll see you next week.
To your head conflict, I'm a contradicted shit. Being on old people's houses is an inflict. 2003 shit, this ain't no splitting bill shit. I'ma peel banana skits while listening to R. Kelly's greatest hits. Young me in the bed for some more flea-mouthing. Young me up in the bed for some more flea-mouthing. Popping pills like sits while someone vomits on your mosquito tits. Slitting wrist while dark evil spirits like slithering with tricks. I'm sick, acid trip makes my spitting sick and makes me start hitting chicks. Knitting thick, shitting quick, fitting dick like transmitting shit with an 8-stick. You're gay as fuck like a fish stick. Tequila shots and salt licks, getting balls in your face like a free kick. Young Lean stays motherfucking freaky. Bitch,
young me in the bed
some morphine. Rotten teeth like Gargamel. I cast a spell, you keep on trying to yell. Bet your dead body stinks worse than my swell. Well, lean expels diagrams as if they were made in Excel. Fuck fat hoes like Adele. Get my dick stuck inside a lamp shell. Get it out with sperm cells and hair gel. Swim in Mexico, Mademoiselle. Point a laugh while he fell. Who's laughing now, now that I'm explosive like Alfred Nobel? Young lean only attracts an older clientele. Very well. Bitch.